This is the printing press and podcast number 008. In today's episode, we will discuss Stephen King's Carrie. This girl is one messed up sister. She is a little too creepy for me. We have some theories and thoughts on how this connects to our island. Then, what if you had telekinesis powers? What would you use it for? Also, our music has some scary undertones. Well, without any further ado, reading between the lines, so you don't have to, the educators in the hatch, Brian and Karen.
Holy cow, everybody, we are on podcast 008. We are come up on our 8th. We are, we're hitting numbers. We're starting to, we did a 4, now we got 8. We're doing good with the numbers, everybody. The song we just heard was Blood Bleeds by the Helio Sequence, and it's not your most appetizing of titles, but neither was the opening of the book that we asked everybody to read in our book club for this month, being Juliet's month, and we asked you to read Carrie. It's good. Wow. It's good. And my quick 2 cents really before we start even introing everything in getting into this episode is that it really connects with the third policeman with one thing that I'm like, haha, this is what I loved about the third policeman was we had DeSelby was that if you're reading, and you should have read Bloodsport the whole first half of the book, we're going into different people writing this book as Stephen King as a narrator is writing this book, you know, and I think that's great is that we also kind of have a DeSelby going on with this book as well. And I thought, what a great, I didn't realize a transition we were going to have on both books. And I thought that was outstanding. So Karen.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Just crazy week, you know that.
Right, but, right.
Totally enjoying the book. It's Halloween month, so, you know.
Exactly.
Gotta get into freak spooky mode. And,
if
there's no zombie books on the island at this point that we know of.
Well, season 7, we'll get into the zombie.
Because I do already have my zombie survival handbook. I have that, so I'm ready to go.
And, you know, it's fun. Maybe we could do Quarantine 2, since there's so many filmmakers doing The Descent 2 and, you know, all these boring sequels. I mean, I love The Descent and I loved Quarantine, loved it. Why not have Quarantine in a hatch? You know, if you're already locked down in quarantine in one house. So why not, have it in a hatch?
Yeah.
We could do this. So it has been a hectic week. I was sick a lot. And then I was recording podcasts with Before You Submit and you were recording podcasts with Rebecca Mader.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Congratulations with the ODI. That is unbelievable. And I know we didn't talk about it before because I wanted to do it on this. Is congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Everybody, go ahead. You describe it.
It was just tons of fun. She was sweet and accessible. Of course, was nice and guarded about spoilers. Good girl. Because, of course, you know, I still have that thing about my spoilers and not wanting to be spoiled, although I know, you know.
You have now entered the dark side. You are now in the dark side. Seriously.
It was just totally cool because we thought that we were really lucky enough to get a few minutes of her time. And we actually chatted for an hour.
Good.
And so it was, we had a lot to cover. Fans sent in questions to the ODI.
Anil, I know you listen, so I apologize. I've been very crazy this weekend and I'm sorry to not have a question for Rebecca. And I really have to say that was an honor that you held one aside. Like he actually emailed me asking my question for Rebecca and I didn't have one. So, but that was awesome. That was awesome. I did have one. I had 3. But I just couldn't in time, and congratulations again.
It was cool. I thank you.
Good.
And,
and everybody, go on. Probably our listeners also are listeners with the ODI, so that's where you can find Karen and Anil doing this, and it was just great. Great. Congratulations.
And also through Dark UFO, if you're a member over at Dark UFO, too, you can click on the link. It'll get you there through that as well.
Good, good, good. So, it is Juliet's month, and honestly, we always describe and get into why we connect these characters and with the book. So I honestly think we're going to have Juliet. I'm shocked myself to have Juliet. She's going to tell us why this month is her month and why we pick Carrie. So Juliet, I think you should take it away.
It's not even literature. It's popcorn.
And why isn't it literature, Adam? I'm dying to
know. There's no metaphor. It's by the numbers, religious hokum pokum.
No metaphor.
It's science fiction. Now I know why Ben isn't here.
Excuse me?
I know the host picks the book, but seriously, Julie, he wouldn't read this in the damn bathroom.
Well, Adam, I am the host, and I do pick the book, and this is my favorite book.
Whoa, so, okay, so Adam had something to say first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and,
oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, Adam and his religious hokum pokum and blah, blah, blah. But, Juliet, yes, that is your favorite book, and I remember rewatching season 3 going, oh, my. You know, I should totally do a book club. I would love to do something like that. And then I forgot about it. And then you and I talking, started up the book club. So thank you, Juliet, for really...
Inspiration.
Inspiration, completely. And congratulations with your favorite book. Because, wow, I wouldn't go as far as saying that I would admit that this is my favorite book. But Adam says that the host wouldn't be caught... you know, on the toilet reading this book. So there's some things about Ben that I feel that we need to get into.
Well, that's why we have to keep the word host in mind when we're talking about Ben. We'll
exactly.
Just leave it at that.
Yeah, because, you know, definitely let's not forget that. But Juliet also has more to say in this situation. I want to get into that, and something happens that's pretty huge by that breaks up the book club. So let's listen to the rest of this scene.
So I'm absolutely thrilled that you can't stand it. Silly me for sinking so low as to select something that Ben wouldn't like. Here I am thinking that free will still actually exists. On the doorway, get into the doorway.
So, okay, so it's shaking. The room is shaking.
Yep.
What are we supposed to, what are we being led to believe here? What's going on here?
Well, I remember when I first saw that scene, not knowing that we were in New Otherton at that point,
right.
That we were watching something and there was an earthquake involved. That's what it seemed like. You know, she directs everybody to the doorway, you know.
Right, going to the doorways. And
So we think for a moment, and then, of course, lo and behold, as everybody finally does grab their wits and runs outside and they run into Ben.
We're on an island. We're in
find
New
out where we are, and that we are smack in the middle of this huge island, and the plane is breaking apart. But Ben is absolutely totally calm.
Yeah, he is, and he's looking up, and he's covering his eyes as if the sun is the only thing to worry about. You know, it's like the sun in his eyes is the only thing to worry about. Yeah.
So, no one's freaking out that a plane is crashing.
Not at all. So I want people to go back and watch that opening, because we had so many critics saying that was the best 8 minutes or even opening to a show on TV history. And that was the only spoiler I had was reading that prior going into this when the Twitters were starting and blogging and people were really, you know, giving their insight and being able to spoil through different media. And I think I read that and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, all right, don't want to know anymore. And watching it, I was really amazed. You get into Petula Clark's downtown and next thing you know, you see white doves in the middle of an island, and then we go into Lost. So next week, I want to tackle Ben and everything like that.
Well,
so
we need to.
We should.
We do know that this is Juliet's favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that we can ignore the host issue.
Definitely,
and
right.
It actually tying into Ben as well.
Okay, you have about 6 minutes of insight. So let's go into Carrie. Let's start off with the famous... shower. Let's open up with the famous shower scene and go from there. Let's go from there. Let's get some insight.
I'll give you my insight. Pretty much the way that I like to tackle through it. Stephen King. I have read every single solitary Stephen King work. I am a huge fan, and I know that the writers over at Lost love Stephen King as well, and it paid huge props to him. And you know, who knows? Stephen King may be going by a different name and writing some stuff for
Lost.
Has. Who knows?
He has.
I love
Which
that.
Is funny. Oh my God, I didn't realize this. He went by the name Richard Bachman, right?
Of course, yes.
Well, our second song of this podcast is a band called Crooked Fingers, which was fronted by an Eric Bachman.
Oh!
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on, because I have chills.
Eric Bachman. I love that.
That's great.
But anyway, the first half of the story is called Bloodsport. The first half of the entire book is Bloodsport. Now, we know how Karen is about blood. I'm a fainter, but we'll just move on. In Lost, we know that this episode is not in Portland. Juliet runs a book club meeting. We know all of that, okay? We also know, I know that the book Carrie can also be found associated with her sister Rachel, by the way. Let's throw that out
there
as well.
We have seen that, right.
In the book of Carrie, we do know that there are excerpts from another book.
Well, really quick, I want to make sure people do know what we're talking about. It was an episode opener, Juliet's centric. She is in. It was the opening of the episode, correct? Where you see her open up the blinds and she's in Miami,
the plane, right? Yeah.
That is not in Portland. Okay. Yeah. So I just want to make sure the listeners are not in Portland. Yeah. Go.
Not in Portland. Okay. In the Book of Carrie, we have excerpts from another book, a book within a book again, called The Shadow Exploded.
Love it.
We learn that Carrie's father died before she was born at a construction site in Portland. Mm-hmm. Okay, blood in the color red. It's symbolism in life, in real life. The color of red is symbol of life, blood, passion, and war, but it's also the color of danger and its warning signs. I want
red
to tell
folders,
you that,
red folders. Let's
that's
not forget
right, red
what
folders, and that. But of course, blood is an issue on Lost in our Lost story. Okay, we have blood disorders. We have references mm-hmm. to DNA and
exactly.
medical studies and all that kind of stuff. So that is important as well. Parapsychology, which we're dealing with in the book, Carrie, but also we know that the Dharma Initiative dealt in parapsychology, remote viewing, ESP, things like that. Okay. This is a fringe science, people. Telekinesis is it's part of parapsychology.
Right.
That's when they're trying to reason the phenomenon with real science and scientific data. But telekinesis is all we know really about it is using your own personal energy. Anyway, going on. Carrie White is 16 years old, lives in a bungalow with the religious fanatic of a mother who worked in a laundry. Her mother was manipulative, obsessive, vindictive, controlling. She kept power over her daughter, using fear as the weapon. Remember what Hurley's mom said? Jesus is not the weapon.
Yep, and fear is the religion. I mean, seriously, okay. Everything that controls that
fear.
Woman is religion, everything.
Uh-huh.
And it brings
yep.
me to somebody else who's on the island that's very controlled. You know, he controls everything. He's very manipulative. Let's imagine that the White House is the island. Then I would say, Miss, you know, Mother White is your Ben. But keep going.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Definitely where we are right now.
Carrie ends up using her telekinetic powers for revenge, ultimately. She did practice her skills in her bedroom, like with the hairbrushes and, moving the hairbrushes and things on doors or whatever. We do learn about the hailstorm and the raining of rocks, which was claimed to be acts of God, but really was Carrie, mm-hmm. or were led to believe that it was Carrie. Acts of God? No, this 16-year-old kid. When Mrs. White needed to control of her daughter in any way, she banished her to the closet to pray. Carrie feels alone. We also know that our Losties, our island, residents, we hear many, many references to who feels alone. You know, they're alone. Are they alone? Are they not alone? The opening of this book gives us the beginning of the quote-unquote blood sport events with Carrie,
mm-hmm.
learning
right.
in an embarrassing way the natural chemistry and cycle of a woman. Yes, that time of the month is cyclic. This natural transition into womanhood takes place right in the middle of the gym shower in front of the girls who made fun of her for years and who now embarrass the shit out of her. Carrie is described as a frog among swans while the shower event is unfolding. We have our gym teacher, but let's keep in mind that the principal's name is Henry Grail.
Love it!
After the shower event, Carrie starts to feel alive. She gets asked to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's thought to be a gesture of atonement, but really, in the end, it's all part of a big, giant
big
mockery.
Scheme. Yeah.
She starts to stand up to her mother. And she is quoted as saying, things are going to change.
Heard that before.
In the meantime, while Carrie is embracing her metamorphosis of sorts by the prom committee of shitty girls, they plan a night of disillusionment for Carrie by fixing the vote for king and queen of the prom. This apparently will require the committee to kill a pig and use its blood. Telekinetics seems to stem from the subconscious where savage things grow.
Yeah, people, listen to this. I love this.
It seems to be developed or made stronger by heightened state of emotions. When Carrie is in the middle of one of her telekinetic events. Her body and her vital stats go through changes as well. Her body temperature goes down, her heart rate goes up, and her respiration goes down. You know, it's funny when you look at the monitors on Lost, and yes, I do, and no, I'm not being, you know, just sober, over.
You have the screen caps to admit it. You know, you have them. We have proof.
We see that their bodies, and now, is it relating to telekinesis? Probably not. It may be relating to something else, but we definitely do get the element of their bodies going through something different, okay? Although we get a bit of the info of sorts by reports that they think that there are dominant and recessive outlaw genes, you know, with the blood platelets and all that fun stuff, I was excited to get a little bit of a little bit of insight in the book about DNA. We get a bit about the fathers being carriers. Mm-hmm. You know, if they breed with the mother, you know, who has a recessive gene, who has the dominant gene, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, if you breed with this outlaw gene, the telekinetics are bleeders. So I wonder if there is any tie to telekinesis or this part of parapsychology in our Lost story. Well, do we need to pay attention to who is a carrier of something?
Right.
And if they do have a gift of some sort, are they bleeders? Or is all the bleeding episodes on the island done because of Ben's wonderful implants? You know, you never know. But anyway, I did want to say that getting through the first half of the book, It is obvious, and it does tie into Lost in this way. Carrie has been kept out of reality by her own mother and her mother's fears and perception of the real world. Could this be the cause of Carrie's telekinetic power? Is it born out of a great subconscious emotion and energies and not genetics, or is it genetics? Where does it really come from? So, but no matter what, poor Carrie is kept in the dark. She's kept out of reality.
Yeah, and if we have seen a hint of telekinesis through somebody on the in this show when and it's not in Portland, correct? Where Juliet has the confrontation with her ex-husband and he's hit by a bus.
Well, that sure does seem like wishful thinking brought to fruition. But is it telekinesis?
Was it just coincidence that we're so used to in this show?
Is it coincidence? Or is it some sort of planned outcome?
Because obviously we saw an Apollo ad on that bus, and things happen to get the planning of every situation on the island. Is it coincidence? Is it fate? Is it destiny? Or is everything planned?
It's
a grand scheme, as we keep in this podcast. Everybody, there is that band that I mentioned. I'm going to go to this really quick so we can do the second song. Eric Bachman, that we mentioned earlier, he fronted a band called Archers of Loaf. Archers of Loaf was from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and they were one of the most amazing indie rock bands, my top five favorite bands. Archers of Loaf were stunning in everything with making guitar sounds and the way they made their own sound it's definitely a download. But Eric Bachman decided to, when they disbanded, go another way, and he brought a more folky tone to him, a band called Crooked Fingers, which were more of like a touring band, but he really fronted this whole thing. He was the brains behind this band. On their first album, they had a track called Juliet, and this is the track from that album, which I'm pretty sure was self-titled. This is
Juliet, your cigarette has burned right through your face, through your skin, and through your skull, and up into your brain. It doesn't seem that you will reach the fountain from where you are.
So that was it. That was Juliet, Crooked Fingers. I can't recall when that album came out, but it's almost a decade now, I'm pretty sure. So if you like with Dismemberment Plan.
You may be single-handedly resurrecting a lot of bands' careers.
Yeah. Who knew? Let's bring back Archers of Loaf. I would do anything to bring back this band. Holy shit. So that was it. Juliet, Crooked Fingers with Eric Bachman. New album to come out in 2 weeks, by the way. Crooked Fingers have a new album, and there's a mariachi track on there.
Oh, God.
Our new podcast, our next one, will be October 28th. You know, every other Tuesday. We like to get it to you guys. And this is going to shock the shit out of you, but there's a character on the show, Lost, that I'm just going to say his name. Ben.
Ah!
Woo! That seems to probably connect to Carrie more than we thought. And I'd like to also get more into Juliet and maybe her telekinesis, or maybe not. We don't know. So with the next podcast, we kind of skip what we're going to... We never get into that next book. But we should do it right now because we get you guys ready for 2 weeks to get you set up. Go on your Amazons, go on your Barnes & Nobles, go on your Borders, go on whatever you do. Hopefully some of you have this book already. I'm really excited for this one.
Because I love this book.
We're going back to the classics, not saying Stephen King's not a classic. But this one is, and we're going back to one. And finally, I do not care for the woman, but everybody else does. Kate. Kate is our November. So what book would that be?
People are going to be blown away and wonder why we chose this one.
Oh, boy.
But Kate's book is Alice in Wonderland.
Woo! And Through the Looking Glass. We're going to do the whole thing.
Yes. Go through the two segments, the two books.
Right. We have to say, please, if you're going to buy the book, they come together, right? I've never seen... Alice in Wonderland sold separately.
I've seen them together. Yeah, unless that's how in the modern day that they decided to keep the books together.
Really, so also, if you're also buying a pamphlet, because Alice in Wonderland is not the longest read. Am I right? Yeah, when they're put together, it's a pretty decent read. It's a pretty extensive read.
And there's some illustration in there, which is fun. And, of course,
likes to show little Aaron while he's reading to him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there you go. There you go. Jack was reading to Aaron, you know, Alice in Wonderland. So when we sort of left off with Lost, so people, if you're wondering why, it's not Jack's month, it's Kate's month, and we have damn good reason why it is Kate's month.
Although we do get our reference to Locke and Jack's conversation about Jack looking, you know, in white rabbit, you know,
right.
So everybody, in the real Lost of everything, everything and everyone is connected to one another, which inevitably would mean all of the literature, to some degree, is going to be connected to pretty much everyone in some way, shape, or form, and more than just one character. And that's going to be evident as our own book list grows and how it's going
to
grow.
Yeah,
so,
I'm anxious to see, really, when we look back at the, like, be like, do we need to do a character month? But we do, because I love giving characters their own month, and for good reason, Kate deserves one.
She deserves one, and but I'm pretty sure that Jack may be our additional tie into that as well. But Kate, she's gotta do it.
Hey,
I wanted to ask you a question though.
Uh-huh. Go.
If you had telekinetic power.
Oh boy. Okay.
In real life. Well, I wish I was a superhero, but
right.
I'm not.
Are we going into heroes? Did I forget to watch Heroes last night? remember, guys, tonight Fringe is coming back. Fringe is coming back. We apologize for the debates that those silly politicians always getting in the way of my Fringe. Remember, Fringe is back on tonight on Fox, so, and with a damn good episode, I'm sure, because last episode was so good. But, okay, this is also giving me time to think about my telekinesis power. That would be it. I would bring Fringe last week. Because I wanted a good hour of television on Tuesday. But if you had some sort of power,
would there be an event or a situation in your real life that you would have loved to have used it or used it on someone or something like that?
Okay, what's my favorite thing? My obsessions are Liverpool. We know I'm a huge Liverpool fanatic. I love my team. I'm a huge Giants fan. Yes, yes. Yes.
So you would use it in the sports?
I would. I would have used it in a sports. There you go. And I'm not a big meathead, not a high fiver. I'm not, you know, I didn't have one beer when I went to Shea Stadium last time when everybody was, I had this woman next to me that she had enough beer for me. So she had my beer that day. And she was basically, that woman was nuts, but she was awesome. I guess she was awesome. This woman, the kid was so embarrassed to be with her, with the mom, but it was not that game. I went to the second to last game at Shea where Johan Santana pitched that damn beautiful complete game shutout. Ryan Church. Ryan Church, number 19 on the Mets, has been my three concussions in one season. I love you, Ryan Church. If you're a Lost fan and you're listening, holy shit, that's awesome. I love you even more. Number 19, last out at Shea Stadium. He had 7 strikeouts in a row coming into this game. He was the last person at bat at Shea Stadium. If that asshole could have just, he hit the ball finally, hit it, pop fly out to left field. If that could have been my home run, that would have been the Mets going into the playoffs, and Shea Stadium could have survived longer.
So there your you telekinetic go. Power
would have been that ball to go
would
out
have
of the
been
park.
Utilized.
Out of the park. There it goes. Woo! Yes. I would have used that ball to go an extra 30, 40 feet. Yes. That's what I would have done. And then I'll come back next week going, here, I have a list of 300 other ones, but what would yours be?
You wouldn't use it to, like, manipulate the lotto balls as they're getting sucked
up
into the...
No, I'm okay, because once you use that for a power like that, Hurley says it best, man. It's just, look at Hurley. Hurley. You know, what if maybe he has some telekinetic power and those balls? Maybe, you know, maybe he didn't know. Maybe he really wanted to help his mom so bad that those balls ended up giving him the 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, you know, 42. What if that happened because he did that? So I would use it to see the Mets, and it was a good day because I was behind the couch, like, so scared, in Jersey, with Vanessa's family. Her dad's a Mets fan. I was behind him, like, clinching onto the sofa, and I probably would have went to Jersey again to go see the Mets play in the playoffs and maybe the World Series.
Wow. Yeah. My husband had the same power.
Right? I know. Chris, and then I would use my telekinetic power to bring Chris with me to see that.
So you and Chris would have just been like double kinetically powering the whole, you know.
Definitely. So what would you do?
Okay, mine would have to involve house cleaning. I would have to kinetically manipulate a mop, a broom, and a toilet brush to clean my house so I don't
there
have
you
to
go. That's that. You and Vanessa could hang out while Chris and I go to the Mets game. So.
I would telepathically pick up all the kids' stuff off the floor.
That's the
I'd
shit. That's awesome. That's so funny. So there you go. It shows how opposite we are, people. It really shows how opposite we are, because I'd be making a mess at Shea Stadium. So this is good. This was a great week. Great book. And we will definitely be back on October 28th. Remember, is it October? Yes. We are, We're on Twitter with Lost Book Club, so look for us on Twitter. We're always updating every once in a while in other situations that are Lost, Fringe, even TV shows like Heroes and stuff like that, just to keep up. Even insight and news on people on Lost. MySpace, you can't miss us on MySpace.com. We are the Printing Press. We're the Lost Book Club.
iTunes.
We're on iTunes. We're on Podomatic.com, where you probably found us now. And we're also on Facebook. We have a group on Facebook called, The Printing Press, Lost Book Club. So you cannot miss us. Yeah. So
find us, join, and leave comments.
Yeah, because I think next week we're going to do reader or listener email. We're going to do listener email again. Sorry we didn't get to get into it this week. We did great this week, though, because the insight was phenomenal. Phenomenal, phenomenal, Karen. Thank you so much. So, everybody, thank you again.
Namaste. Namaste.
Well, thank you, Brian and Karen. The song you will hear now is a band called The Eels. The song is called Teenage Witch off the Soul Jacker album. Teenage Witch sounds about right. Creepy Carrie, Creepy Carrie, Creepy Carrie.
Sam, bring it on down now, Luna Joan. Where did you find such a rocking vest? So get away, kid, you become a